Do not intimate to your children that it is no matter whether they labor or not. Teach them that their help is needed, that their time is of value, and that you depend on their labor. 289.1 It is a sin to let children grow up in idleness. Let them exercise their limbs and muscles, even if it wearies them. If they are not overworked, how can weariness harm them more than it harms you? There is quite a difference between weariness and exhaustion. Children need more frequent change of employment and intervals of rest than grown persons do, but even when quite young, they may begin learning to work, and they will be happy in the thought that they are making themselves useful. Their sleep will be sweet after healthful labor, and they will be refreshed for the next day's work. 289.2 Do not say, my children bother me. Say some mothers, my children bother me, when they try to help me. So did mine, but do you think I let them know it? Praise your children. Teach them, line upon line, precept upon precept. This is better than reading novels, better than making calls, better than following the fashions of the world. 289.3 A view of the pattern. For a period of time the majesty of heaven, the King of Glory, was only a babe in Bethlehem and could only represent the babe in its mother's arms. In childhood he could only do the work of an obedient child, fulfilling the wishes of his parents, in doing such duties as would correspond to his ability as a child. This is all that children can do, and they should be so educated and instructed that they may follow Christ's example. Christ acted in a manner that blessed the household in which he was found, for he was subject to his parents and thus did missionary work in his home life. It is written, and the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. 290.1 It is the precious privilege of teachers and parents to cooperate in teaching the children how to drink in the gladness of Christ's life by learning to follow his example. The Savior's early years were useful years. He was his mother's helper in the home, and he was, just as barely fulfilling his commission when performing the duties of the home and working at the carpenter's bench, as when he engaged in his public work of ministry. 290.2 In his earth life Christ was an example to all the human family, and he was obedient and helpful in the home. He learned the carpenter's trade and worked with his own hands in the little shop at Nazareth. As he worked in childhood and youth, mind and body were developed. He did not use his physical powers recklessly, but in such a way as to keep them in health, that he might do the best work in every line. 290.3 Chapter 50, The Honor Due Parents. The child's indebtedness to parents. Children should feel that they are indebted to their parents, who have watched over them in infancy and nursed them in sickness. They should realize that their parents have suffered much anxiety on their account. Especially have conscientious, godly parents felt the deepest interest that their children should take a right course. As they have seen faults in their children, how heavy have been their hearts. If the children who caused those hearts to ache could see the effect of their course, they would certainly relent. If they could see their mother's tears and hear her prayers to God in their behalf, if they could listen to her suppressed and broken sighs, their hearts would feel and they would speedily confess their wrongs and ask to be forgiven. 292.1 Children, when they become of age, will prize the parents who labored faithfully, and would not permit them to cherish wrong feelings or indulge in evil habits. 292.2 A command binding on all. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the first commandment with promise. It is binding upon childhood and youth, upon the middle-aged and the aged. There is no period in life when children are excused from honoring their parents. This solemn obligation is binding upon every son and daughter and is one of the conditions to their prolonging their lives upon the land which the Lord will give the faithful. This is not a subject unworthy of notice, but a matter of vital importance. The 293 promise is upon condition of obedience. If you obey, you shall live long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. If you disobey, you shall not prolong your life in that land. 292.3 Parents are entitled to a degree of love and respect which is due to no other person. God himself, who has placed upon them a responsibility for the souls committed to their charge, has ordained that during the earlier years of life parents shall stand in the place of God to their children. And he who rejects the rightful authority of his parents is rejecting the authority of God. The fifth commandment requires children not only to yield respect, submission, and obedience to their parents, but also to give them love and tenderness, to lighten their cares, to guard their reputation, and to succor and comfort them in old age. Law 293.1. God cannot prosper those who go directly contrary to the plainest duty specified in his word, the duty of children to their parents. If they disrespect and dishonor their earthly parents, they will not respect and love their Creator. Law 293.2. When children have unbelieving parents, and their commands contradict the requirements of Christ, then, painful though it may be, they must obey God and trust the consequences with him. Law 293.3. Many are breaking the fifth commandment. In these last days children are so noted for their disobedience and disrespect that God has especially noticed it, and it constitutes a sign that the end is near.